AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Brevant Seeds. You want someone who knows how to do the whole job. That's what ag retailers do. That's why Brevant Seeds are available only through retailers. Find yours at brevant.com/retail.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Wednesday morning. We're going to get to the Farmer Forum at the bottom of the hour. But first, Davis, each month in cooperation with the CME Group, Purdue University ag economist Dr. James Mintert and Dr. Michael Langemeyer conduct a survey of U.S. farmers to measure their attitudes about current and expected conditions. And Jim is nice enough to join us each month to discuss the results. Jim is director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Ag and, of course, is an ag econ professor there at Purdue. Jim, welcome back. It's good to talk with you again.
Good to be back, Chip.
All right. So here we are. Back-to-back months now, farmer sentiment has improved. Tell us, it's not an insignificant amount of improvement, Jim.
It kind of depends on what you compare it to, Chip. And so if you look at a year ago, for example, I think we're up, 13 points. A year ago, the reading was 102 for the barometer index, and this month was 115. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, we were at 116, so we're about the same as, okay, as 2 years ago, of course. But if you go back and look at our peak when we were, late 2020, the beginning of 2021, we were up over 175. So kind of depends on how you look at it. But I think it is a modest improvement. And, you know, I think from our standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. So your listeners know, the survey covers all the major commodities. So it covers corn and soybean producers, wheat producers, cotton producers on the crop side, and on the livestock side, beef, pork, and dairy. Because of the value of farm production every month, a majority of the people in the survey have a corn or soybean enterprise.
Sure.
So if you think about what went on in the Corn Belt, especially with respect to corn and soybean yields this fall, certainly for many producers, yields were better than expected. Certainly when you compare them to the yields they were thinking about back in June and maybe early July before some rains hit. But widespread higher productivity than people thought we were going to have. And that's translating, I think, into a more positive sentiment and a more positive financial environment, because even though prices haven't been as strong as people perhaps had hoped, that combination of current prices with some really good yields still makes things look better than probably people thought just a few months ago.
Yeah. As I was looking at the results, I'm thinking to myself that yields had to be it. And it's because of when you were doing the survey, November 13th through the 17th. The previous survey was done the middle of October. You give them another month's worth of scale tickets of looking at the combine yield monitor, of all of that. And to me, this survey added evidence that, okay, yeah, the uptick that we got in the national average corn yield from October to November makes more sense now, because if the guys are seeing it out there in the field, it's going to show up in this survey. And it did. It to me, that's exactly where you got to give the credit for the increase in the in attitudes, or the improvement in attitudes. Yeah.
And that correlates with what we saw in the Farm Financial Performance Index. It was up a modest amount. It was up 3 points. But again, if you compare that one to where it was back in the spring, in May, that index was all the way down at 76. So we're up 19 points compared to where we were in May. We saw some of that improvement show up over the summer. We got up into the mid-80s. But these last couple of months, it just keeps creeping up. And I just think that's a function of yield and people looking at what the revenue situation is and kind of looking back on the year. That's the other thing that happens when you get to these last couple of surveys in November and December. People really start thinking about how this year shook out relative to last year. And I think a recognition that actually this turned out to be a decent year for a lot of folks.
Yeah. Revenue is going to be down. There's no question about it. Revenue is going to be down from the records that we saw in 2022. But revenues are going to be down all the way to number two on the list in history. I think this generally optimistic attitude, at least for corn and soybean producers, has got to be, it's pretty well justified.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I did in a presentation recently outside the survey. I looked at the average of net farm income at the aggregate at the, you know, national level, and averaged it from 2010 to 2019. And then I compared how net farm income nationally compared in, say, 2020, 2021, 2022, and now 2023, relative to that 10-year average from 2010 to 2019. And even with the downgrade that we're looking at in 23, 23's projection, according to USDA, is still 25% higher than that 10-year average. And I think people are maybe kind of recognizing that a little bit.
Okay. All right. So with the improved attitude, with the revenue situation, some more clarity coming to that, what's it doing to their plans for the future? Are they ready to make some investments?
So the Farm Capital Investment Index was up, I think, 7 points this month compared to last month, and I think 11 points higher than a year ago. Again, like the other indices, you know, it's still down compared to where we were in late 2020, the very beginning of 2021. But that 11-point improvement compared to a year ago is kind of interesting when you think about the fact that farm income last year was actually stronger. So that's kind of an interesting perspective. And the other thing is we've now got, I think, 5 months of data where we've been following up and asking people who tell us that it's a good time to make large investments why they feel that way.
Yeah.
And we shied away from asking that question for a while because each month it's a relatively small percentage of people who tell us that it's a good time. I think this month it was 16% of the people in the survey said, yeah, now's a good time to make large investments. And we are seeing a little bit of a transition there. The first couple times we asked that question in July and August, over 40% of the people told us that it was because of strong cash flows.
Okay.
Fewer people are pointing to strong cash flows on these last couple of surveys, but more people are pointing to loosening up or improved dealer inventories for farm machinery.
Okay.
You know, the first time we asked that question in July, only 12% said it was because of improved inventories availability. These last couple of times, it's been in the 20s. This month, it was actually 29%. And I kind of think that what's going on there, Chip, is that as those dealer inventories climb, people are starting to feel like maybe they can negotiate a little better deal. For a long time, of course, it was get in line, wait for what you might come down the road. That's changed here recently. So that's really an improvement. And I think we'll monitor that going forward, but I think we're starting to see some softening up in that market.
Okay. All right. We've been having some conversations about working capital and the cash flows that growers have available to them. That the cash flows or the working capital that they've got in place right now coming out of 2023, I understand that, okay, maybe things turned out better than what you expected, but the capital, the working capital that farmers have got right now, I'm picking up more and more that it's not quite the cushion that they would like to have going into the 2024 season with the input costs at the level that they're looking at.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that's consistent with what we're picking up with that shift from, say, 40 to 41% of people saying strong cash flows was a good reason for investments back in July and August. And then on this most recent survey, about half that number, roughly 22%, said it was about strong cash flows. So I think we are picking that up. We're not at the point where working capital is desperate, you know, that we're in a real challenging environment. But we're definitely starting to see some drawdown, and those cash flows aren't as strong as they were, for example, last year or 2 years ago.
Right. Gotcha. Challenges for the year ahead. The input cost still at the top of the list, right?
Yeah. Input cost is still the number one concern for the upcoming year. But again, we're seeing a shift. If you look at the beginning of the year, over 40% of the people in the survey said their number one concern for the upcoming year was high input cost. This month, that's down to roughly one-third, 32% of the people in the survey. And we're seeing more people start to point to lower crop and livestock prices. More people point to rising interest rates. So we're seeing a little bit of a shift there back towards maybe what I'd characterize as maybe some more traditional concerns, which would be output prices and a key input price, namely interest rates. So those are a little more front of mind or top of mind for folks. One of the interesting things about that question, though, Chip, particularly given the fact that we just did an extension of the farm bill, is how few people think farm policy is a concern.
Right.
And that's been consistent throughout the year.
Yeah.
I think this month, 5% of the people said farm policy was one of their top concerns. Beginning of the year, it was 3%. So it really hasn't changed much. And in fact, environmental policy is higher, ranked higher by folks. Almost twice as many said environmental policy was a bigger concern for them going forward than farm policy.
It's amazing to me. You know, that's your question inspired me to ask that a similar question. You know, if farm policy is even on their radar when I'm having just, you know, casual conversations with farmers. And it's amazing how low the level of concern is there. Jim, great stuff. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Dr. James Mintert, Purdue University. Farmer Forum is up next.